Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
Text 1.
John Henderson is a recruiter at a big IT company. John, what are the biggest mistakes candidates make?
The first one is poor time management. We recently had an applicant who was supposed to come to her final interview by plane. She took a taxi to the airport, but her taxi was late, so she missed her flight, which cost the company money and herself the opportunity. The moral of the story? You always have to have a backup plan.
We've just got a question from Sarah, who is asking about lunch interviews. How should we behave if we're invited to one?
Well, the golden rule for this kind of interview is to remember you are there for the interview, not to eat. I remember one candidate who ordered a three-course meal. He felt optimistic about the outcome, but the interviewer was distracted by all the food, which affected the whole evaluation process. As a result, the candidate did not get the job.
And do you remember any particularly regrettable mistake a candidate has made?
Once we had almost taken someone on. We informed him that he was at the top of the shortlist for the job, and he sent us a thank you note, which is usually appreciated by recruiters. But then we noticed that he had misspelled the name of the company. Of course, he didn't get the job. How could we hire a person who didn't even know how to spell our name correctly?
Thanks, John. John has agreed to stay with us on air for another hour, so if you have something to ask our expert, we'll be waiting for your calls.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
John Henderson is a recruiter at a big IT company. John, what are the biggest mistakes candidates make?
The first one is poor time management. We recently had an applicant who was supposed to come to her final interview by plane. She took a taxi to the airport, but her taxi was late, so she missed her flight, which cost the company money and herself the opportunity. The moral of the story? You always have to have a backup plan.
We've just got a question from Sarah, who is asking about lunch interviews. How should we behave if we're invited to one?
Well, the golden rule for this kind of interview is to remember you are there for the interview, not to eat. I remember one candidate who ordered a three-course meal. He felt optimistic about the outcome, but the interviewer was distracted by all the food, which affected the whole evaluation process. As a result, the candidate did not get the job.
And do you remember any particularly regrettable mistake a candidate has made?
Once we had almost taken someone on. We informed him that he was at the top of the shortlist for the job, and he sent us a thank you note, which is usually appreciated by recruiters. But then we noticed that he had misspelled the name of the company. Of course, he didn't get the job. How could we hire a person who didn't even know how to spell our name correctly?
Thanks, John. John has agreed to stay with us on air for another hour, so if you have something to ask our expert, we'll be waiting for your calls.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Text 2. In September 1991, scientists began a fascinating experiment. Four men and four women entered Biosphere 2, a miniature Earth consisting of interconnected buildings constructed from steel, glass and concrete in the American state of Arizona. They were expected to live there for 2 years. The main idea behind the experiment was simple. Biosphere 2 was designed with one particular aim in mind: to test whether human beings could survive in a closed environment that recreated conditions similar to those found in nature, without any interference from outside. Now almost forgotten, at the beginning the experiment received a lot of media attention in the United States and across the world. Crowds watched the participants being locked inside the miniature Earth. Scientists had created Biosphere 2 with a man-made rainforest, desert, grassland, and even a small ocean. The air and water inside were reused. The participants grew vegetables, rice, and other foods they needed to survive. They also kept farm animals, which provided meat, eggs, and milk. Creating a prototype of a new Earth from scratch proved quite challenging. At some point, the 8 test subjects, called Biospherians, faced an unexpected problem. The group's health began to be affected by low oxygen levels, so air had to be pumped in from outside. This decision led to criticism of the $150 million project, because it turned out that Biosphere 2 wasn't able to support life in the long run, and the project ended in September 1993. The researchers didn't totally give up, though. In 1994, after improvements were made to Biosphere 2, the experiment was replicated with a new group of subjects. But it had to be stopped 6 months later because of money issues. Then, over the following years, the ownership of Biosphere 2 changed several times. Today, the University of Arizona operates the buildings which serve as a scientific research center for controlled studies. Researchers from around the world can now use the facility to carry out experiments.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
In September 1991, scientists began a fascinating experiment. Four men and four women entered Biosphere 2, a miniature Earth consisting of interconnected buildings constructed from steel, glass and concrete in the American state of Arizona. They were expected to live there for 2 years. The main idea behind the experiment was simple. Biosphere 2 was designed with one particular aim in mind: to test whether human beings could survive in a closed environment that recreated conditions similar to those found in nature, without any interference from outside. Now almost forgotten, at the beginning, the experiment received a lot of media attention in the United States and across the world. Crowds watched the participants being locked inside the miniature Earth. Scientists had created Biosphere 2 with a man-made rainforest, desert, grassland, and even a small ocean. The air and water inside were reused. The participants grew vegetables, rice, and other foods they needed to survive. They also kept farm animals, which provided meat, eggs, and milk. Creating a prototype of a new Earth from scratch proved quite challenging. At some point, the 8 test subjects, called Biospherians, faced an unexpected problem. The group's health began to be affected by low oxygen levels, so air had to be pumped in from outside. This decision led to criticism of the $150 million project, because it turned out that Biosphere 2 wasn't able to support life in the long run, and the project ended in September 1993. The researchers didn't totally give up, though. In 1994, after improvements were made to Biosphere 2, the experiment was replicated with a new group of subjects. But it had to be stopped 6 months later because of money issues. Then, over the following years, the ownership of Biosphere 2 changed several times. Today, the University of Arizona operates the buildings which serve as a scientific research center for controlled studies. Researchers from around the world can now use the facility to carry out experiments.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Speaker 1.
I had an appointment with my dog groomer, but when I showed up, it was clear she didn't remember about it. However, she took my dog. She worked on him for 3 hours while attending to several other dogs at the same time and returned him to me with the job half finished. She promised I could come back the next day, but when I called the place to arrange the time, they told me they wouldn't be able to finish grooming my dog for another 6 days. Can you believe it?
Speaker 2. I was told that the courier had attempted to deliver my package 3 times over the course of the weekend. But honestly, I don't think he even came near my building, and I had stayed in the entire weekend waiting. I raised the issue with the company's customer service, and learnt that the courier would have left the package if he had been given access to the mailbox, which is the company's requirement for a delivery. I had no idea about that. Speaker 3.
When a representative from a solar panel installation company came to examine our roof, he said there were a lot of broken tiles. This seemed odd, as we had just moved in, and we had an invoice confirming the previous owner had put a new roof on 2 years earlier. So then I had an independent roof inspection conducted, which showed the broken tiles were exactly in the area where the solar company representative had walked around on the roof. When I was told how much it would cost to fix the tiles, I contacted the solar panel company. They agreed to do the repairs, but the cost would be added to our solar bill. That's absurd. It wasn't our fault. Why should we be charged?
Speaker 4. We had been helped by that company earlier, so when a problem in the basement appeared, we had no doubt about who to call. The company immediately sent the man who had done work for us before. He diagnosed the problem, recommended a solution, and scheduled the repairs for the following Monday at 8 a.m. However, a few days later, the company informed us that someone else would take care of us. At first, I felt a bit let down. But the new repairman turned up at 8 a.m. sharp, and he worked really hard. He stayed till late and did his job perfectly. He even cleaned up the mess afterwards. Speaker 5.
The hotel we rented for our wedding reception had ongoing issues about noise with the local council, but the receptionist assured us it would not be a problem on our special day. He told us live music could only be played until 11 p.m. We assumed our band would play until then and asked the hotel to provide a DJ for the rest of the night, and they agreed. However, we didn't know that the hotel had fitted a sound limiter, which meant neither the band nor a DJ could play after 11 p.m. We ended up dancing all night to music played through my mobile phone. Have you ever attended a reception like that?
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Speaker 1.
I had an appointment with my dog groomer, but when I showed up, it was clear she didn't remember about it. However, she took my dog. She worked on him for 3 hours while attending to several other dogs at the same time and returned him to me with the job half finished. She promised I could come back the next day, but when I called the place to arrange the time, they told me they wouldn't be able to finish grooming my dog for another 6 days. Can you believe it?
Speaker 2. I was told that the courier had attempted to deliver my package 3 times over the course of the weekend. But honestly, I don't think he even came near my building, and I had stayed in the entire weekend waiting. I raised the issue with the company's customer service and learnt that the courier would have left the package if he had been given access to the mailbox, which is the company's requirement for a delivery. I had no idea about that. Speaker 3.
When a representative from a solar panel installation company came to examine our roof, he said there were a lot of broken tiles. This seemed odd, as we had just moved in, and we had an invoice confirming the previous owner had put a new roof on 2 years earlier. So then I had an independent roof inspection conducted, which showed the broken tiles were exactly in the area where the solar company representative had walked around on the roof. When I was told how much it would cost to fix the tiles, I contacted the solar panel company. They agreed to do the repairs, but the cost would be added to our solar bill. That's absurd. It wasn't our fault. Why should we be charged?
Speaker 4. We had been helped by that company earlier, so when a problem in the basement appeared, we had no doubt about who to call. The company immediately sent the man who had done work for us before. He diagnosed the problem, recommended a solution, and scheduled the repairs for the following Monday at 8 a.m. However, a few days later, the company informed us that someone else would take care of us. At first, I felt a bit let down. But the new repairman turned up at 8 a.m. sharp, and he worked really hard. He stayed till late and did his job perfectly. He even cleaned up the mess afterwards. Speaker 5.
The hotel we rented for our wedding reception had ongoing issues about noise with the local council, but the receptionist assured us it would not be a problem on our special day. He told us live music could only be played until 11 p.m. We assumed our band would play until then and asked the hotel to provide a DJ for the rest of the night, and they agreed. However, we didn't know that the hotel had fitted a sound limiter, which meant neither the band nor a DJ could play after 11 p.m. We ended up dancing all night to music played through my mobile phone. Have you ever attended a reception like that?
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
René had hiked through the Angeles National Forest more times than he could count, sometimes spending a few days there. But one summer afternoon, after walking along a new path on what he intended to be just a two-hour outing, he lost his way. Several hours into his hike, after many attempts to find his way back onto the path, he realized he had to contact someone for help. However, mobile reception was really bad in that area. He eventually managed to climb to a spot where his phone picked up a signal, and just before his phone battery died, he was able to text a friend and attach two hurriedly taken photos which he hoped might give an idea of his whereabouts. However, only one photo went through. It was a blurred picture of René's legs high above a valley with some trees and bushes. Unfortunately, the surrounding mountain peaks, which could have provided some clue as to his location, were not visible in it. The search and rescue teams, alerted by René's friends, spent the night looking for the hiker, but they could find no trace of him. The next day, the photograph sent by René was released to the public, along with information about the case and an appeal for assistance in the search. Ben Kuo, who is skilled in using satellite imagery to identify various locations, saw the photo and decided to act. He knew where René's car had been found, so he focused on this area. Looking at the satellite map and the photo, he realized that René must have walked to the south because the northern part was very rocky and there were no valleys with any greenery. That helped Ben narrow down his search and investigate in detail locations overlooking valleys with green areas. Finally, he tracked down a place which closely resembled the terrain showed in the picture, and he notified the local sheriff's department. The rescuers found René less than a mile from the predicted spot. The sound of the helicopter hovering overhead brought tears to René's eyes. Although he couldn't see anything through the dense treetops above the place where he had taken shelter, he knew his rescuers were there. The hiker, who had spent more than 27 hours alone in the wilderness, was really lucky to survive.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
René had hiked through the Angeles National Forest more times than he could count, sometimes spending a few days there. But one summer afternoon, after walking along a new path on what he intended to be just a two-hour outing, he lost his way. Several hours into his hike, after many attempts to find his way back onto the path, he realized he had to contact someone for help. However, mobile reception was really bad in that area. He eventually managed to climb to a spot where his phone picked up a signal, and just before his phone battery died, he was able to text a friend and attach two hurriedly taken photos, which he hoped might give an idea of his whereabouts. However, only one photo went through. It was a blurred picture of René's legs high above a valley with some trees and bushes. Unfortunately, the surrounding mountain peaks, which could have provided some clue as to his location, were not visible in it. The search and rescue teams, alerted by René's friends, spent the night looking for the hiker, but they could find no trace of him. The next day, the photograph sent by René was released to the public, along with information about the case and an appeal for assistance in the search. Ben Kuo, who is skilled in using satellite imagery to identify various locations, saw the photo and decided to act. He knew where René's car had been found, so he focused on this area. Looking at the satellite map and the photo, he realized that René must have walked to the south because the northern part was very rocky and there were no valleys with any greenery. That helped Ben narrow down his search and investigate in detail locations overlooking valleys with green areas. Finally, he tracked down a place which closely resembled the terrain showed in the picture, and he notified the local sheriff's department. The rescuers found René less than a mile from the predicted spot. The sound of the helicopter hovering overhead brought tears to René's eyes. Although he couldn't see anything through the dense treetops above the place where he had taken shelter, he knew his rescuers were there. The hiker, who had spent more than 27 hours alone in the wilderness, was really lucky to survive.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.